This message is brought to you by The Lighthouse. For more details, please visit philipepen.com and send your feedback to podcaster@mail.com.
My name is Santosh Thomas. My wife, Suma, and me, we have three children. Elizabeth, who is the eldest, who is 17 years old. My son, Stephen, who is 13. And our younger son, Samuel, who is 7 years old. We live in Pune because my parents moved from Kerala to Maharashtra about 44 years back. My father was from the Syrian Orthodox community in Kerala. We belonged to a place called Ithidanam, close to Changanasheri. My father, as a young man, was ambitious, like people in his generation, who wanted to make it well in life. While he was in college, he met a few friends who asked him whether they would like Christ to be his friend. He had never thought about it that way. And coming from a Jacobite church where there are lots of traditions and rituals, he thought that those traditions and rituals are part of spirituality and how you can relate to God. But he had never thought of God becoming a friend of his. And looking at the life of these young men who invited him into this, he saw that those young men were doing well in school, in college, and they were fine young man, and that is why he decided that he should try it out. So in a very simple way, he welcomed Christ into his life, and he says that transformed his life. People around him, his family and his dear ones, started seeing it. This brought a great joy into his life, which he started sharing with friends in his own community and in the church at large. He was thinking what he should do with his life, whether he should go to get a degree where he can go into a profession as a chemist and make money. But then he started looking at his own life and people around. He was very much influenced by Mahatma Gandhi. And he said, thought to himself that who are the people in this world who are remembered? The people like Mahatma Gandhi who had lived not for themselves but for others. And then he started thinking, if I can help some people, it would be nice. But I can not help everyone. Or I can help only some people for some time. But if I can lead people to know the Christ whom I have known, they can be transformed for life, and in every aspect of their life, they would experience his presence and change and blessing. That is why he decided to become an evangelist. Being in the Jacobite Church, he decided to go and study theology. So he went to the Union Theological Seminary in Bangalore. And while he was studying his theology's BD there, he traveled extensively in Kerala to many Jacobite churches and preached and talked about Christ, which was rare in those days inside the Jacobite Church. When he was in his final year of BD, he got engaged to my mother, who was also a devout Jacobite Christian. And she wanted to marry a person who was committed to God. Her desire was to become a missionary doctor, and she was studying medicine then. And they got married, and my mother was also very happy that she was married to a devout Jacobite Christian who would one day become a priest, and so that was very satisfying to her. But while doing his master's, that is an MTH in theology, he was studying New Testament Greek, And he started looking into the deeper truths of the Bible, and he was confronted with ideas like what salvation really means, what is the significance of baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when he was confronted, he struggled with these ideas for more than a year. And he didn't, because he was so rooted in his traditional church and he loved it so much that he didn't want to leave the church. All his arguments fell apart one by one, and then it was a choice he had to make between the truth that he came to understand and tradition. He chose truth for tradition and decided to go and be baptized. And he informed my mother that he would be baptized. She was shocked at hearing this. My mother threatened to leave him and go to her home if he got baptized. He went ahead and got baptized anyway. Meanwhile, my mother left him and went away to her uncle, who was a priest, who advised her that being a doctor herself, she doesn't have to continue with a man who has lost his mind, because they all thought that he had lost his mind. She continued to be with her uncle. Meanwhile, she felt quite sick, and being a doctor, she took some strong medicines for the diarrhea and vomiting that she was having. And when the vomiting would not stop, the doctors asked her to do a pregnancy test. And then she discovered that she was pregnant. And being a devout Christian herself, she was afraid to abort the baby. And the baby needed a father. So the only reason that made her come back was to my father was this. And they reunited as a family. And my father treated her as if she's come back from a holiday or vacation. She never tried to force his ideas on her. Meanwhile, my father completed his master's in theology, and after his newfound experiences, lots of Pentecostal churches were inviting him, making different offers. But he decided to stand for the conviction that he believed that the Church of God is not an institution that is made on human understanding of presidents and secretaries and structures like that, but a structure that is made in heaven, which of course has its apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. And he decided to work independently. My mother and he prayed, and they went to Mysore and worked in Udupi. My mother worked in the Basel Mission Hospital in Udupi. And my father worked independently. He would travel for days together, sometimes barefoot, because he had no support of any kind. While he went out for ministry, there was a prophetic word from a dear servant of God that he should go and work, not taking any support from any foreign country. And being a Gandhian ideologically, my father decided not to take any money from any foreign institution or any foreign support. The prophecy said that there is enough money in India to support the work of God. So he went from village to village, sometimes walking for hours together, distributing tracts. He learned Kannada. He spoke and read and wrote Kannada fluently and spoke to many people about Christ. After a few years, God told them through another prophetic word from a dear servant of God that they should go further north. There was a mission hospital in Dound in Maharashtra that was closing down because they did not have a doctor. And my mother went and joined there as a lady doctor there. My father again did not join the mission, although it was a mission hospital. He worked independently and sharing the word of God to different people there. And they continued there for more than 15 years. Meanwhile, my elder brother, Subhash, and myself, we were brought up in Dound in a very different atmosphere away from the upbringing that my parents had. So we didn't have many friends who were affluent or rich. We had poor friends, and we were influenced by friends who would influence us in the wrong way. Many times my father would be traveling and preaching the word of God. My mother would be in the hospital attending to the patients, and we would be on our own. Meanwhile, my brother finished his 10th standard, and there was no junior college, so my parents decided to move to Pune. When we shifted to Pune, my parents wanted to put me in the best school. my parents took me to Bishop School in Pune, and the principal of Bishop School looked at my mark sheet of the previous year. I think it was 7th standard, and he said, "You don't look like a moron. Marks say that you are." Academically, I was very poor. Meanwhile, I was interacting with friends, imbibed a lot of the ways of friends. The Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. So I learned the ways of my friends, started stealing money from home, going to see movies, having a wild life, traveling around Pune on my cycle, and trying to be adventurous. In my 10th standard, I got very low marks because I had no joy and peace on my inside. I would sit the whole day laughing and try to crack jokes on every man that passed by and pass comments on every woman that passed by. Deep inside my heart, I had no peace. I had no rest. In 10th standard, I didn't fail, but I just managed to pass with 37%, where all my friends got good marks. I went to a junior college. I took science because I wanted to become a veterinary doctor. I thought I would do well in 11th and 12th, but the same issues of bad company. I got even to worse companies, and I started a lot of wrong things. Somehow, God prevented me from getting into terrible mistakes like addictions and alcoholism. But otherwise, I was pretty messed up in my head. I could not read 2 or 3 pages properly and remember it. I was so bad in academics. In my 12th standard, the first time I did not write my exams. The second time I was going to write, before that my friend, who also did not write the exams with me in the earlier year, had a girlfriend in Mumbai. He wanted me to accompany him to meet her. I would not be allowed to go to Bombay unless it was for a prayer meeting or so. So I told my father a lie that I'm going to meet the pastor for prayer, and he allowed me to go. And I knew my father would ask the pastor, Pastor K.C. Jacob in Bombay, whether I had been there. So I, just to register my attendance there, I went to meet Pastor K.C. Jacob. And he was sitting on the floor and praying. And he went on praying in the spirit for about half an hour, and I was getting frustrated about not being responded to. Meanwhile, I started looking at my own life. I had no hope, no future. I couldn't even fix a flat tire that could help me to start a cycle shop. My parents had no bank balance. We had nothing. I had nothing I could fall back on. And I knew, after all the messing around, my friends would have a better life because their parents would pay money and put them in a private institution and get some career for themselves. But I had no hope, nothing to look forward to, and I was too scared to commit suicide. On the other hand, I had heard about how Jesus had transformed the lives of many people around me. I had read the books like Run Baby Run, Nicky Cruz, and things like that. I committed my life to Jesus that day, and I really repented for my sins. Came out and told my friends that I won't join them anymore. My friends were pretty upset, but that was a turning point in my life because I took a stand for God and had tremendous peace after that. I wrote my exams for 12th standard, and I thought I would pass, but I did not pass. I failed. And I was very disappointed when I failed, and I was disillusioned. And I went to my father for advice and comfort, and he told me, "Son, your life..." He told me from the book of Jeremiah that your life is like clay in the potter's hand. While making one shape, if it is marred or disfigured, God can take it and give it another shape, because He is the master designer, craftsman. That really strengthened me and gave me a hope that God has got many alternatives. God also deals with the desires of our heart. He gives what is the desire of our heart, if it is a good desire. And I wanted to be a vet, so after 6 months, I wrote my 12th standard and I passed. I passed again with 37% marks. And with 37, you cannot get admission to a veterinary college in India. But I decided not to give up my desire to work with animals, and so there was a course in Maharashtra in Marathi called as dairy business management and animal husbandry. It was run by the Maharashtra Technical Board then. Today it's run by the agriculture universities and the veterinary university. I went and joined this course, and it was in a village called Umargai, far away from Pune. I was the only Christian there, and students who studied with me were even coming barefoot to college. There God made me realize that God does not look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Jesus became real to me. He became a friend. I could experience His presence and company like a true friend. And I started working on my studies also. I started reading a lot of books, and because I had nobody to mess around with, no friends, and accumulated knowledge in my mind regarding the subject. When I wrote my exams in the first year, that was the first time in my life that I ever got a first class doing this Marathi diploma. I went ahead and finished my second year, and the examiner who came for my viva, he was pretty impressed with the knowledge I had on the subject, and he told me that I should study further, and he gave me the address of a college in Latur. It was a degree course in BSc with dairy science, and I went and joined the degree course. And there I met another Christian whose name was Roshan K. Matthew, and we started praying together. I had struggles in my life and he had struggles in his life. He was also not very good in academics. We started praying together, and he was struggling with his academics, but after we started praying together, his life was transformed and changed, and he started doing well. And God worked in our lives. The final year of my BSc, I had a lot of struggles, and I was struggling with things I thought I could never get over. I would never change in some areas of my life, I thought. God gave me a desire to fast and pray, and I started fasting and praying. After a couple of days of fasting, the thought came to my mind, how am I able to live a normal life without eating food? And the answer that came to my mind was, it was the grace of God. It was a power that is coming from above. And immediately the thought the Holy Spirit put in my mind was, just as I am giving your physical body the ability to live as if you have eaten food, without eating food, while you are fasting, I will give your spirit, grace and strength to overcome. That convinced me that God is able to change my life, that God is able to give me victory. And the transformation started then, it's still going on. But the transformation also worked in my life in the physical areas, not only in the spiritual areas. The verse in the third epistle of John, which says, as your soul prospers, you shall prosper in all things and be in good health. And that is very true. In my final year of BSc, I was writing my exams, and I had a bad headache that last night before writing a paper in chemistry. And I had studied, I had prepared notes the whole year. I could not study anything the previous night. I was fasting, I had a headache. I slept in the night. Early morning, I got up and I just revised what I had studied. And at 11 o'clock, I went to write my exams. And before writing my exams, I felt there was something sitting on my leg. So I knocked it off with my fingers. And my finger hit the desk. And under the desk was a bee, not a beehive, a wasp hive. And maybe two or three of them bit me. And there was terrible pain on my right hand. I write with my right hand. And immediately it was swollen up, and I had to write my exams. I put my left hand on my right hand and I prayed. And pain left me instantaneously. It was like my hand was anesthetized after that. I wrote my exams and I stood first in that subject in the university. And I finished my degree. And I wanted to do my post-graduation, and I asked the Lord's grace and and asked him to open up ways for me. And I thought God would open up the best institute for me, send me to the best university in India. And I tried in several, I tried the National Dairy Research Institute, I tried Allahabad, I tried different places, but somehow I did not get admissions anywhere. I was disappointed. And there was an interview for the National Dairy Research, National Dairy Development Board, which I applied for, and I went for the interview. I was selected, and when I came out of the selection room, two students from my university were there, and they said that for the first time in my university where I did my degree, a master science course in dairy science had started. I left the job, I immediately went back to the university, and I was one of the names in the merit list there. I got admissions for masters. And I had no idea why God sent me to a place called Udgir in Maharashtra. Again, there were very few Christians there. There was a Methodist church which was locked up because of some property fights or wars. Meanwhile, I went there on the first Sunday, and next to me was sitting a young man, and I looked at him and immediately we both knew we were Christians. Talked to him, he was Paul Chowdhury, had come from Andhra Pradesh, and he was also struggling academically. And I shared how God worked in my life. We started meeting on my college ground, and we used to pray together, sometimes loudly, sometimes forgetting where we are. People jogging and running around there would think that we were drunk. But sitting on the college ground there, God used to speak to us every day from His Word. And God anointed, I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit earlier. God anointed Paul Chowdhury on that college ground there. And we started staying together. His friend Ravi Reddy, he was struggling. I think it was his last chance to pass through the diploma in engineering that he was doing. He started coming for prayer for passing exams. But slowly God worked in his heart and transformed his life. And I know today when I look back that God had a plan to take me to Udgir. Today Paul Chowdhury is the pastor of a church in Vijayawada. Ravi Reddy is a wonderful Christian in Hyderabad. Staying there alone in that small village, I had accumulated a lot of books, which I wouldn't have. Probably if I had gone to a posh institute, I would have been caught up by all the glamour there, and I would have gone away from Christ. Knowing my need and my personality, God put me in a circumstance which was the best for me. In my final year in Masters, I stood second in the university in MSc Dairy Science. After finishing my Masters, I came back to Kedgaon, where my mother was working then. And the Panditaramavai Mukti Mission had a dairy farm, and they needed a farm manager. I joined there as a farm manager. The Mukti Mission had a condition that men who worked there should be married. And for that reason, my father started looking for a girl for me. And I had a couple of choices, which I wanted him to pray with people who have a prophetic understanding. So he went and prayed with these servants of God, and my ideas were not God's ideas. Before that, also during my Masters, all my friends, even Christian friends, had girlfriends and boyfriends. And I also wanted to have girlfriends, and I tried a couple of times. And the last time I tried, God spoke to me very clearly that, don't mess around with my plans. I have a plan for you. You commit your way to me, and I will give you the desire of your heart. Maybe not the desire of your lust or the desire of your imagination or fantasy, but the desire of your heart. Then I realized that God knows what my desire is perfectly well, much more than I know it myself. And I completely surrendered the area of choosing a life partner into His hand. Meanwhile, my father met a dear child of God, and he was looking for a suitable husband for his daughter, who had just finished her homeopathy. And my father, he didn't know that my father was also looking for a bride for me, a wife for me, and they talked to each other. My father, quite cleverly, did not mention anything about me, but waited till the evening and saw my wife, and he was very impressed by what he saw. And he called me to come, and I came to Kerala. While coming, different servants of God, like Dr. Sheila Gupta in Kedgaon and others, God confirmed that God was taking me. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If we submit our life to God, in Jesus we are good. His goodness is ours. His righteousness is ours. And He covers us with His goodness. He will direct our steps. So I came to Kerala and we shared our testimonies, which had similarities. We decided to get married. Today I'm married more than 18 years. We've had our shares of trials and testings, but every single time God has reminded us that His plans are perfect. Today, when I look at my wife and what I've received through her, I know that I could not have married a better girl. God's choice for me was the ultimate best choice. I am so glad that I did not overstep God's choice. I really thank God for that. While I was in Mukti Mission after my marriage, my salary was 1500 and my wife became pregnant, and I wrote to her, how are we going to manage our family with 1500 rupees? She wrote back, at the right time, God will open doors. And quite truly, her company from Pune sent a salesman to sell a milking machine to me, and we had a long discussion. Mr. Abhijit Sauji is a good friend of mine. He took back my biodata and they called me for an interview, and the interviewer, who was a lady called Shama Ranade, she looked at my biodata and she said, "You have got very poor academics to start with, and then suddenly your academics improve." And then I told her the whole story about how Jesus changed my life. And she said, "You're a good talker, so why don't you join in sales?" So I joined as a salesman. The first milking machine I sold was to a buffalo farmer, and the milking machine did not work. So my customer was very annoyed and he threatened me that if I don't give back his money, he would shoot me. So we rode back to the company and we did a trial testing program on the milking machine with buffaloes, and we found out that the buffalo responded in a very different way, and we decided to do a trial. And I called a friend of mine, Bhagwan More, who was jobless then, and we started working on this buffalo farm to do trials. And we needed 10 buffaloes for this trial program, and he gave us the 10 of his worst buffaloes. And the best among them was more than 10 lactations, and she had a long horn which almost touched the floor, and she could kick like a horse. I remember the first day we started our trials, we put our hand on the buffalo and we prayed for the buffalo. And almost like a miracle, or miraculously I would say, the buffalo was very calm after that. She allowed us to milk her and we did a lot of trials. Meanwhile, my boss, Mr. Hans Gisel Ekdal from Sweden, he came here and they wanted to send somebody to do further research on buffalo milking. And I asked him, "Why don't you send me?" And that's how I got an opportunity to go to Sweden. So I went to Sweden and to do my PhD. And coming from a very poor academic background, I had a lot of struggles there. I was alone from home, far away from home, and I had a lot of hard work to do because I was very poor in statistics. I had very poor in mathematics earlier. So I had to learn these subjects. I had to learn a lot of new subjects. And struggled a lot. We collected data, and first paper I published, my paper was accepted in the European Association for Animal Production as the best paper. I presented it in the EAAP meeting in Cairo, and I got an award for the best paper. God changed this simpleton and idiot, I still am one, to excel in academics. What is impossible for man is possible for God. God is a good God. He will give you the desires of your heart. In the final part of my PhD, I really wanted to stay back in Sweden because Sweden is such a nice place. My wife was also so comfortable there. My kids were happy there. And we prayed, "Lord, what do you want us to do?" And God spoke to me very clearly about this. God spoke to me through impressions in my own heart that if I wanted to go back to any part of the world, God would be with me and He would bless me and prosper me, irrespective of where I go, because He is my Father. But if I, like in the case of my marriage, Even for marriage, God says, marry whom you like, but in the Lord. But that's a calling for everyone. You can marry whom you like. But if you want God to choose for you, it sometimes is, you have to wait, you have to suffer for that maybe, for your stand. But God will lead you to a higher choice. That's a higher choice. In the same way with your career and where you should live and where you should, there is a calling for everyone. But there's a higher calling. If you open your ears, you will hear it. There were possibilities of me having opportunities to work in Europe. God spoke to me from the life of Moses that when Moses was of age, he chose rather to be suffering affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And there God was speaking to me, sin for Moses there was not any abominable condition, but not obeying God or not being in God's perfect will. And it was very clear that from there that God wanted me to be back in India. God wanted me to participate in the church in India. Meanwhile, my wife was praying for the same thing, and God spoke to her from Abraham's life that when it came to make a choice, Lot chose the social security of Sodom and Gomorrah, like the social security could be the social security of Sweden. Where the roads are good, the bus comes like a clock, works like a clock, the hospitals are beautiful, our children had free education. It's a lovely place to live. Wonderful people. I have wonderful Swedish friends. It's a wonderful country. God bless Sweden. But when Abraham had to make a choice, he was left with a desert. And Abraham chose what was left and what God gave him. And then God spoke in Genesis chapter 15, fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So God spoke to her also, if God, you want God to be your reward, you should choose what God wants you to be. So we both decided to come back to India, and we came, and it's been more than 7 years now since we've been back. God has led us through various situations in our life, and he's working in our life. His work is not finished. God took me to various people, some of the top people in the country in the dairy field. I have traveled to more than 21 nations worldwide and spoken to ministers and big authorities, to ordinary farmers in tens, in hundreds, in thousands. One thing I can say, like what is written in Ephesians chapter 3, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God wants to work in each of our lives. Of course, it is not only in material things that God wants to work. God is interested in our life, in our spirit, in us, in our soul. God wants to transform us and make us what he can take home to be with him forever. God bless you all who are listening. And may God touch your life so that you may experience and know God intimately. He is a good God. He is a loving Father. God bless you all.